everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Crashing the Net podcast on NoCredentialsPN.com and underfurtherreview.com. I'm Tom Daly. You can follow me on Twitter at FNN Tom Daly. You can follow my co-host Mike Callow on Twitter at DC Sports FTW. And you can also follow the No Credentials Podcast Network on Twitter at No Credentials PN. Also, with that Twitter page, we'll be giving away a $25 gift card to NFLShop.com. And if you want to win the gift card, follow at No Credentials PN. And once we hit 50 followers, we will pick a random follower as the winner, and it won't be anyone we know. And one thing is that for the people that listen on underfurtherreview.com, this is the first time they're hearing this.
Right.
Because I was lazy. I totally slept on it, and I never sent the audio to Bodie, so he was never able to put it up. So people listening on underfurtherreview.com, this is the first time for you. So I'll state it again. We will be giving away a $25 gift card to NFLShop.com. And once we hit 50 followers, I think we're at 28, 30, something like that now, we'll pick a random follower as the winner, and hopefully it'll be you. So go and follow that Twitter page if you're interested. I understand you guys are saying, wait, this is a hockey podcast. But if you like hockey, more than likely you like football.
You like gotta like something about football.
Just a little bit. Enough where you could spend $25
right
on NFLShop.com. So
as I've been saying, that's a jersey right now. All the jerseys are on clearance from last year.
Right. And once we hit 100, 150, whatever, depending on how fast it goes now,
we'll up the ante.
We'll be giving away something else, because I've realized with Twitter, you have to buy followers. No one just follows you out of the goodness of their heart anymore. A couple things I wanted to get into today, just a rundown real quick, is we have Caps news. I understand this is supposed to be a national show, supposed to be for everyone listening, and now we have on the No Credentials Twitter page, they're Penguins fans.
Right.
And they probably don't want to hear about the Caps, but right now, the Caps, and for anyone in D.C., they know what a debacle this team has become.
I was going to say, it's actually something the Penguins fans probably want to hear about.
They want to hear it, but they also don't. They would much rather have us talk about, you know, Malkin being 1 point away from 100 points this
right
year, and Crosby coming back. But there's a lot of things going on with the Caps right now. And one of the other things being Evgeny Kuznetsov, their number one prospect, it has decided to not come over
again.
Allegedly. We'll get into that a little bit later. And also, since we're about a week away or less, depending on when you're listening to this, from playoffs.
Right.
We'll run down the playoff pictures and scenarios. And, you know, because we're good at what we do, we'll pick the Stanley Cup finals today.
You had it right last year.
I did, and that's why I went.
That's why you went. That's right.
Getting right into it, the Capitals have taken a turn for the worse. When I made my NHL mock draft, I believe the Buffalo Sabres were the second to worst team, or at least top five.
Yeah, I think they were like your fifth worst, I believe.
But either way, they were getting a lottery pick, and now they have overtaken the eighth seed from the Capitals.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, Dale Hunter says on Tuesday, we're playing the Sabres. It's one-on-one. It's head-to-head. We're tied right now. The Caps owned the tie break because they had 8 overtime losses to Buffalo's 10. All of a sudden, it's a Game 7 environment, which we've talked about on previous episodes. Dale Hunter loves to refer to the playoff atmosphere.
According to Dale Hunter, the playoffs started 3 months ago.
That's right. And
every game, it's playoff atmosphere.
And the best thing about the fact that he didn't, not only did he refer to it as a playoff atmosphere, but a Game 7. And that's great, because I was talking to you because we were watching a game here, and I said, he's right. It is a Game 7. It's exactly like the Game 7 that the 2008-2009 team played at the Verizon Center against the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Right.
And that was probably the worst loss, the loss to the Sabres on Tuesday.
Since then?
Since the 7-2 loss against the Penguins.
Yeah, total S the bet on that game.
There's your Penguins reference for all the Penguins fans that are following the Twitter page.
But Dale, being a long-time Capital, he obviously knows that the Capitals always choke in these meaningful games. like we've come grown accustomed to.
Right. I mean, he should have said this is a game one.
Right. Yeah. He really should.
Game one would have been fine, yeah, unless you're playing Montreal. Right. But you say it's a game seven.
Everyone's done.
Ever since the Rock the Red era, that's been a nightmare. Game seven.
Any jersey with three stars on it, which is all of them, the Caps choke.
That being said, the Caps lose that game in, I would describe it as horrendous. A horrendous fashion.
I would say just short of horrendous, only because the turning point in that game was about to happen. The Caps killed a PK. It's 3-1.
Semin has that goal.
Right. Then they go on the power play, and you're thinking, all right, make a 3-2 here, total ball game. Well, Ovechkin botches. I guess he botched a pass or something, but Buffalo gets the breakaway. 4-1, shorthanded goal. I mean, that's the nail in the coffin.
Of the season, not the game, of the season. I know that you're the ultimate optimist.
I'm not writing it off yet.
You're not writing it off, but I am. That game, if that's a game seven, and we're having that intensity, and they give you that, I'm sorry. It's over.
I still think you have to give credit to the Sabres and Ryan Miller, because Ryan Miller was playing great that whole entire
game. He had 44 saves.
Right.
So you have to give him that.
Season high.
Yeah, so 44 saves. Yeah, he did well, but like what you said, that shorthanded goal was a nail in a coffin, and I put my head in my hands, and I said, it was fun while it lasted. I'll enjoy my April.
For those who don't listen to the DNC podcast usually, you can hear my reaction as this game's going on. So actually, the Penguins fans would love that one, I'm sure.
Yeah, because it was great. We were talking about RG3 and the Redskins.
you just hear me stop at certain times.
All of a sudden, Mike just stops talking. I ask him a question. I go, oh, that was the Sabres scoring another goal. As it looks right now, whether the Caps or the Sabres are in, they're going to play New York.
Right.
Which, for Caps fans, is a good thing.
We would love that, honestly.
Maybe if it was last year's team, with Sean Avery still on the squad.
Let's say any other number one seed destroyed, we have a nice shot against the Rangers. Their game hasn't really changed. They've just gotten better at it.
Yeah, and their prospects have finally gotten to the point where they're good. Carl Hagelin's playing great.
Right.
Ryan McDonough, the defenseman, is playing good. You know, they have a lot more to offer now.
Yeah, it's kind of Lundqvist was always the top guy. Now they have everyone else behind him.
And I was talking to...
In front of him, I guess
I was talking to someone the other day, and he was saying the Rangers are playing a couple teams upcoming.
Right.
Do the Rangers play the Caps before the season's over?
Last game of the season.
Last game of the season.
Yep.
This is what this guy was getting to. He said, don't be surprised if you don't see Henrik Lundqvist, you don't see Mark Stahl.
And yeah, they just scratch everybody.
They scratch the good players, and they play Marty Biron, and they play some of those guys to let the Caps back into the playoffs.
Really? So they can play them.
Right. They let them have the game, so they beat Buffalo in the tie break. And then guess what? Who would the Rangers rather play? The streaky Buffalo team, which we've mentioned, you never want to play a hot goalie and a streaky team because they're the ones that will murder you.
That's true. That's very true.
Or do you want to play a slumping disappointment team in the Capitals?
That's really, for the Rangers, though, a pick your poison. Because obviously we're not going to have a hot goalie unless someone racks off five wins right here.
I can tell you who it won't be. Braden Holtby.
Yes, I'll agree with you on that. But it's really a pick your poison because how many times do you see a team tank to let another team in, and that team ends up meeting them, and in this case they can kind of control who it is,
right,
just for that team to come and beat them.
So that being said, whatever happens, the Rangers will play Buffalo or the Rangers will play the Capitals.
Right.
There's only two teams on the bubble. It's a head-to-head battle here, and that's what's going to happen. As we wrap up this first segment, if the Caps don't make the playoffs, which I don't think they will, you think that you're not writing it off yet. I'm writing it off.
I'm looking at both sides. I really think it's a real possibility that they miss it, real possibility that they can still make it.
So I'm looking at it moving forward. What are you going to do with this organization going in to next season? Do you blow out the team? Do you fire George McPhee? Do you not bring back Hunter? or do you not raise ticket prices for the?
Well, they've already raised ticket prices.
Well, yeah, that's what I was saying. That was a joke. It was like A, B, C, or D, or E, all of the above.
Well, I see. I just take that seriously because you know I actually can buy tickets when I want to from a certain source.
Right.
First off, Hunter can't come back. Not only was this team inconsistent all year, but you had Hunter scratching guys for no reason. They didn't know why they were being
just
scratched.
Just personal reasons. Roman Hamrlick, Dmitry Orlov recently.
Halpern's gotten scratched. Ward's gotten scratched. I mean, you're talking about...
Knubel's been the only true scratch because he had such a slow start to this season.
True, true. And that he always does, but that's like... He always has a slow start. I said this to you back in November when he didn't have any goals. And I said, well, you know, last 2 years, Knubel's just been good second half. That's just his bit. He always saves it for... the home stretch. The fact that he would scratch someone like that every night, though, was still mind-blowing. And the fact that they were losing, and he was still scratching Mike Knubel every night.
Right.
I mean, it was a little ridiculous, but same thing. He's not communicating with his players well because you had that little spat between him and Roman Hamrlick. Roman Hamrlick's been in the season 21 years last time I checked, or 22, I forget. But he's been in the league over 20 years. He should be able to meet face-to-face with him and say, this is why you're scratched. Also,
that might have been an issue with the Hamrlick thing real quick. They played against each other. There might be some bad blood there from back in the day because Hamrlick's not a dirty player. He doesn't even really want to make contact.
Right.
Dale Hunter was given the penalty box when he retired. You know, like two opposite ends of the spectrum
like
here.
Hazed him into the league or something. But Hunter just can't come back. This team really needs to start fresh with a new coach. I am saying you have to keep McPhee, though, because you and me have both seen McPhee still just wrecks people at the trade deadline. It didn't happen this past deadline because there wasn't much out there and there wasn't much opportunity. But
and we mentioned that in the last show, and, you know, he was pissed when Gostad went for
right,
what he did.
Right. I said there was one anonymous GM that was livid that he got traded, and I'm 99% sure that one GM was ours. I would definitely keep McPhee at least for another year and a half to 2 years, simply because he has done really well with shaping this roster, and he's done everything that he could do. I mean, he got rid of talent to get some veterans in here this last season, and that hasn't worked. So he's gonna have to figure out another way. Whatever he does, I don't know. I don't want to be in his situation, but he stays, I think, just because he is really good at what he does. Number one. Player going into the offseason, I think, is Alexander Semin. Probably the most consistent player all year offensively.
So you're saying bring him back.
I'm saying bring him back offensively, and he's been playing some defense lately too. I mean, that's absurd watching him the past couple years.
Well, yeah. Him and Ovi have picked up the defense, and even Carl Alsner has mentioned how Ovi's been playing on defense. But I have the list here of free agents that are on the team right now. You have Mike Green, John Carlson, Matthew Perreault, and Jay Beagle as restricted free agents. Those guys, if you tender them and they go off and sign with another team, you'll get draft pick compensation for them. Unrestricted, you have Dennis Weidman, Alex Semin, Thomas Vokoun, Mike Knubel, Jeff Halpern, and Keith Acoin, who was called up 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Right.
And has been doing fine and getting time on power plays. And is on a NHL minimum contract, so
right.
He's very inexpensive.
Mm-hmm. Okoin definitely comes back with that, because I think Okoin also...
Because even if you give him a salary increase, he's only like $700,000.
Right, and I also think Okoin legitimately likes playing in Hershey when he's not on the Capitals team, because most likely whoever comes in will give him a shot. But most likely, he's back in the AHL next year. I mean, we're so hurting.
Yeah, he's always one of the last guys to get sent down in training camp.
Right, like, we are just so hurting at center right now that that he got called up and stayed. So, I think he comes back. I think Semin, honestly, comes back because he's more valuable to us than any other team, if you know what I'm saying.
Right, like, and he had that streak where he had 30 points in 31 games. I mean, people talk about how bad he is. Bad players don't do that.
Right.
And you put him in a team like Dallas. I've always linked Semin to Dallas because they need a guy like that, and they can build a squad around him, especially with the way that Jamie Benn and Louis Erickson have been playing. that as a top line is a scary, scary thing.
Right.
And he might be next year top five in points if you build a team around him like that.
Right. But it's also Alexander Semin we're talking about. So you don't know if he's going to respond to that or not. That's why but I agree with you.
I think being the number one guy, he would respond to it.
Okay.
I think that's one of the reasons why he kind of takes it easy, because he's still behind Backstrom and Ovi, and he knows that no matter what he does, he's still the third best at best.
That's true.
Sometimes a hurt Mike Green will still be more popular than Semin.
Certain people love to talk about him more than others.
Yeah.
Mike Green also, to get into restricted, I know pretty much all those guys will come back, but Mike Green should come back pretty cheap, which I'm fine with.
He should not be $5 million a year like he has been.
No. He certainly isn't going to garner the five first-round pick tender that he had the first time around.
Well, no, he will, because it's based off the tender that we give him.
Oh, it is. Okay.
So, and I believe it's something like the past 5 years' salaries that an average together. That's what it is.
Okay.
So if you tender that, which will still be $4 or $5 million, and some team comes and gets him, he's going to get at least three first round picks.
Yeah, which no one's going to do.
You know, yeah. And if they do, bye.
Yeah.
See you later.
I think you and me both are fine with that.
Yeah, I mean, Green is 5.2 this year. I mean, he's not going to be cheap as a restricted free agent based off of salary picks or salary cap or draft picks. John Carlson, I know this is going to hurt your feelings because I want to get in on this too. Out of the players, and I pretty much came to this last night, which would be Wednesday at the time. It doesn't matter. But I'm fine with Green, Carlson, both going.
Uh-huh.
I'm fine with that because I've said this on numerous occasions. This is the deepest draft, and not just my opinion. You ask true NHL analysts, how deep is this draft? And they'll tell you more than likely it is as deep or deeper than the Crosby-Ovechkin draft in 2005 or 2004, whenever that was.
Right.
So if that's the case, and we can get a third-round pick for Carlson, that might be a high first or a low second in any other year.
Compared.
So yeah, if you can get a third and you can get a guy that might be able to play his way onto the squad, sure, let him go.
I think somebody would definitely be willing to throw you at least a second round for him. On potential alone, second round pick easily for Carlson.
Yeah, and I think he would demand at least $1.5 or $2 million a year.
Yeah.
And so Green, Carlson, they can both go because, you know, I would love to have more draft picks this year. I'm actually fine with rebuilding the team.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if you're not, and George McPhee's on the fence, you might as well start over. Let's start anew.
I think you blow out what you can.
Yeah, I mean, it's obvious. Weidman, gone. Fokun, gone. Mike Knubel, 39, gone. Jeff Halpern, 35, gone. Keith O'Coin, if he comes cheap, he's 33. He can go too.
Right.
You know, but Zach Parise is still out there. If we get rid of Weidman, Fokun, Knubel, and Halpern, and we sign a guy like Parise, and then bring up all of the Cody Eakins and the Orlovs full time that we have,
right?
We can afford that, and we can work around that. But the only unrestricted free agent that I would really want to re-sign is Semin.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. If there was one guy we had to choose, Semin would be the one.
Wow, we went over on that one. So let's get out of here. That's the first segment. We got our caps out of the way. When we come back, we'll talk some
predictions,
playoff predictions. Let's do West Coast.
West Coast first?
We'll do West Coast because that's the stuff we don't know. And then we'll finish strong with the East in the third period. You're listening to the Crashing the Net podcast on underfurtherreview.com and nocredentialspn.com.